Come, Holy Spirit, would you take these words and speak to our hearts through them? I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have many traditions in our church, and some of those traditions are found in the context of the service we use on Sunday mornings, the liturgy we use. One of those traditions is, for example, when I say, "The Lord be with you," and your response is, "And with your spirit." Now, that's kind of new to most of us. This is a new service we're using at this time, and it's a little different from the one we've been using. And the other response that most people are used to is, when I say, "The Lord be with you," you respond with, "And also with you." See, it just comes naturally to us. Well, there was a priest who was speaking to a large congregation, and he was wearing a wireless microphone. And there was something wrong with the microphone, and so he looked back to where the technicians were in the back working the microphones, and he said, "There's something wrong with this microphone." And the congregation responded, "And also with you." Well, we can get so caught up in our traditions that we just say things without really even thinking about it. And certainly we have all sorts of traditions. We have family traditions that we do at holidays. We have traditions related to eating. For example, my dad used to take us to church, and after we'd come back from church, we'd go out and get donuts. And that became kind of like a family tradition every Sunday morning, to go out and get donuts after the service. We often hear about different traditions. For example, the NFL right now is kind of dealing with players that will not stand for the national anthem, but rather are kneeling. But actually, standing for the national anthem is a tradition. There are also church traditions that we have in our church. We have a lot of traditions in our church, as I mentioned. And I'm going to be talking about some of those in specific in just a few moments. But certainly, all churches have traditions. And some churches practice their traditions religiously. When we do our traditions, there are some churches that kind of look down their noses at us, saying that your traditions are really kind of man-made traditions, and so you really shouldn't be doing those sorts of things. But many of those churches are the same churches that would have an opening prayer, maybe three hymns, a sermon, and then an altar call. Well, that kind of sounds like a tradition to me, you know. So all churches have traditions. And certainly Jesus was dealing today in our gospel lesson with traditions. These traditions were traditions set down by the elders of the Jewish community. And those were traditions that the people were expected to follow. So I'd like us to look again at those traditions. If you wouldn't mind turning in your Bibles to our gospel lesson today from Mark chapter 7. And in the Pew Bibles, that's on page 1567. Mark chapter 7. And we're going to start at verse 1. And as Jesus is talking to these Pharisees, he's talking to them about the traditions of the elders. And he says this in verse 1. It says this in verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they don't eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" The Jewish elders were kind of responsible for teaching the people the law of God and to teach them how to live by the law of God. But perhaps they were following some of the examples in the Old Testament where, for example, Aaron and his sons were commanded to wash their hands before they went into the Holy of Holies. And because of that, they thought if it's good enough for Aaron and the sons of Aaron to do that, then it's probably good enough for all of us to do that. And so they came up with these commandments for the people to ceremonially wash their hands before they ate a meal. This was certainly not something that was commanded in Scripture for everyone to do, but they made it a requirement for all the Jews to do that, not just when they went into the temple, but before they ate a meal as well. Jesus responded to the Pharisees' question about his disciples eating with unwashed hands by saying in verse 6, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Now, Jesus wasn't condemning human traditions. What he was condemning here was when we substitute human traditions for obedience to the commandments of God. We choose to pay more attention to the religious things we do rather than to what those things represent and symbolize. We pay more attention to doing things the right way religiously instead of obedience to the commandments of God. And that's what he was talking about here. In our Old Testament lesson today, God says to the people, you shall not add to or subtract from any of my commandments. So what these elders were doing was they were adding to the commandments of God things that God never intended for the people to do. And they weren't focusing on the things that God did intend for them to do. He was talking about replacing true spirituality in connection with Jesus Christ with human tradition. As Anglicans, we have to be careful that we don't substitute our traditions for those things that they really represent, and that is a relationship with Christ and being close to Him. We have a lot of traditions in our church that are designed to represent a deep spiritual reality. For example, this white alb that I wear is something not just to cover up the outfit that I put on today, but rather it's to remind us that in Christ we are clean before the Lord. That as Isaiah said, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And so the white alb reminds us that in Christ we are purified. This stole that I wear, which is this cloth thing that I wear around my neck, is really a reminder of what Jesus said when he said to us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you'll learn from me and you'll find rest for your souls. And so the yoke is to remind me and to remind us that we are called to be yoked with Christ, to follow Christ, to be led by Him, and to do the things that He wants us to do. I also will be wearing in a little while what's called a chasuble. And the chasuble is kind of a seamless garment that's a one-piece kind of poncho-like thing that is reminiscent of the one-piece garment that Jesus wore and that was taken from Him at His crucifixion. But it's also a reminder of the robe that the high priest wore when he offered the sacrifices at the altar. And so again, we're drawing from Old Testament and New Testament symbols to teach a deeper spiritual reality. And so these are some of the traditions that we follow in the church, and certainly those things that can have a real spiritual meaning to them if we understand what they symbolize. There are many other symbols that I do during the service as well. One of those may be confusing to some of you, and that is I do a ritual hand washing at the before I celebrate communion. And you might think, well, that kind of sounds like what the Pharisees were doing when they were talking about washing the cups and the dishes and washing their hands and that sort of thing before they ate. And in reality, it is drawing a little bit upon that ceremonial washing. However, it's all a matter of what we make of these traditions that is so important. So when I'm washing my hands, I'm really praying, Lord, don't hold my sins against your people, but let them receive the full benefit of this sacrament. And so really I'm asking God to cleanse me before I celebrate the Holy Eucharist for us each Sunday. We all also have a ritual washing of the plate, the paten, which is what it's called, and the communion cup. And on another occasion, Jesus said this to the Pharisees. Now then, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did you not know that who made the outside also made the inside? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. And so after communion, I do what is called the ablutions. The ablution is when I clean the paten, the plate, and the cup. And as I'm doing that, I'm praying also that God would make us clean and help us to live clean lives as we go forth from this place, strengthened by His Holy Communion. All the symbols and rituals that I and we have and do really are meant and designed to have a spiritual meaning to them and ultimately to draw us closer to Christ. However, it is possible for us to do all of these things and not be close to Christ. As Jesus said, you can be far away from me in heart even though you're doing religious things. You can do all sorts of good things, but your heart may still be far away from Christ. And so Jesus was saying you need to guard your heart to make sure that the religious things you're doing are really done for the right reason and with the right spirit. When we say, for example, the Lord be with you, and you say, and with your spirit, we're really getting back to the original of what God intended, and that is that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. So I'm asking the Lord to be with your spirit, and you're asking the Lord to be with my spirit, so that we can worship in spirit and in truth, for example. And so the challenge for us as Christians is to examine our hearts before we come to church or before we get involved in any sort of spiritual activity to make sure our hearts are right with Christ before we enter into that time of worship or that time of prayer. Am I doing those things that I'm doing to honor Him or to remind myself of Him? Or am I simply going through the motions? Am I simply doing them because I think that's somehow going to earn me some brownie points with God? One author I read said this: the presence of God, not how well we perform religious duties, is what creates within us a spiritual vibrancy. This distinction is referenced by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 when he said, they will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that can make them godly. Vibrancy doesn't come to us through our religious efforts, although discipline, growth, and knowledge may help us. But vibrancy, life within our soul, is the effective work of Jesus. We can't pretend our way into a powerful prayer life. Knowledge won't give us impact. We won't authentically display something we don't feel from within. It's not that we should discount religion. It's that we should recognize it as being less important than Jesus. The presence of God in our life will produce a thriving spiritual existence that nothing else can generate, creating a genuine passion and concern for those things that once did not compel us. End quote. So what that really is saying is that when our religion comes alive, we don't do the things that we do. We don't worship, we don't pray, we don't do those things in order to benefit ourselves, but we do them in order to benefit, to bless and benefit God. We do those things for God, in other words. The presence of Christ in our life is something that God wants to make real in us. He wants us to emulate the life of Christ and live the way He wants it, the way He lived. Our hearts are to break over what breaks His heart. Our spirits become fully alive and our spiritual senses are awakened when we become alive spiritually. A natural and deep care develops, sensitizing our soul, compelling our actions. When that happens, we will know that our religion is alive. Simply put, we're really doing the things from our hearts, and not just because we've always done them that way, or because we feel like that somehow by doing them, that's going to get us closer to God. We do the things that we do spiritually speaking, religiously speaking, in order to show our honor and praise of God, but also to seek to be closer to Christ in our relationship with Him. As we do all those things, we're really getting to the source of the gospel. I would encourage you, as we not only as we go through the rest of this service, but also as we go out in our daily lives, in our prayer lives, that sort of thing, to pay attention to where we are spiritually with our relationship to Christ. Do we know the Lord? Have we invited Him into our lives? And then also, once we've invited Him into our lives, do we really have that ongoing relationship with Him that causes us to want to pray and wants to worship? So as we pray and worship God in spirit and in truth, we really will be fulfilling that which Jesus wants us to do in terms of our relationship with Him and our worship of God. Let us pray. Father, we have to admit that many times we come to church and our minds are not really connected. Our hearts are not really there with You. Sometimes we worship You, but we don't worship You in the spirit with which You desire to be worshipped. Sometimes we come to church and we really are thinking about other things and are distracted by our problems and situations in life. Lord, would you forgive us for those things? And no, Lord, we know that you do forgive us. And Lord, as we receive that forgiveness and we come into your presence, would you now in the rest of this service feed us with your word and sacraments? Would you help us to draw closer to you? And would you be glorified in all that we do and say the rest of this service and throughout the rest of our lives? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.